Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, folks, I want to welcome everybody this morning. You know, it is a beautiful day in Florida. We took the weekend, went over to the condo at the beach, and I say the condo at the beach. People laughed at Noah's because that's like one block away from where we live, but it was phenomenal. We have surrogate parents that own the condo, and we get to go over there, and it was just great. We enjoyed the birthdays. We have our grandbaby and our youngest son both enjoyed their birthday yesterday, and then my 14 or 13 year old daughter enjoyed her birthday last weekend. So we just had all of them over, had the families over, and it was great. I mean, it was beautiful. The snowbirds were just leaving town. Spring breakers are coming in. The water was awesome. Dolphins were swimming. Stingrays everywhere. And if I'm bragging a little bit, gosh, guys, this is what being in business for yourself is all about. And when you can take it one step at a time, which is what we did. You know, we started out living in a 900 square foot home, literally raising three boys, and it took us close to 10 years to be able to get it going right, to accumulate, to just keep going through the hellhole. And then in 2000, we moved to the beach, a barrier island in the panhandle of Florida, and we've never looked back. It's been gorgeous. It's been great. And I'm sharing that so that people understand, you know, it's not just about overnight success. It's about learning and using books like Twitter Power, learning and using the technology of Facebook. And it's not about giving up what you're already doing. I was talking to a black diamond in Montevi over the weekend that, matter of fact, he's the fastest growing black diamond in history, and he's young. And he said, Troy, I don't know what to do now. I'm in a great organization. And he goes, I'm just now learning how to use social media. All he had done was get on the phone for 6 months straight and just build it. And folks, that shows you what you can do. It doesn't matter if you've had a long tenure in network marketing or you're just starting. If you listen to the radio show, if you grab the nugget, then you're going to be able to do some powerful, powerful stuff. And that's the cool part. Jimmy, how are you doing this morning?
I am recovering, my friend. I am recovering. It excites me that you were able to get away and have an enjoyable weekend. I think it's absolutely awesome. The time that we get to spend with our loved ones is priceless. I don't think I've ever seen anyone have an inscription on their gravestone that said, I wish I would have spent more time at work.
Oh, that's so true. That is so, so true. So you're recovering from your little bout with some health issues on Friday?
Oh, my goodness, man. Whatever that crud was that overran me on Friday morning when I got done flying, it hung with me pretty much all weekend, you know, on through yesterday afternoon. And, you know, it's been just, it was not fun, man. Let me tell you what. Slowly but surely getting better and just taking it one day at a time, man.
Well, that's what it's about right there. Well, I wasn't expecting you on the call. I didn't know if you were still under the weather, if you were flying, if you weren't. So are you prepared for this chapter, or do you want me to take it?
Well, I don't know what chapter you're on, man, because with everything that was going on last week, I lost track of where you were. So, you know, please, by all means, feel free. And if I have something to interject, I will do so. Otherwise, you know, dive right in. And,
awesome.
You know, I'll help you if I can or need to.
Well, we're gonna jam it out because I'm basically gonna take the last three chapters because they're very small, and especially two of them. And I want to dive into them, and then I want to get into the 30-day plan because that's gonna be the kicker for folks is to get this all.
Well, do we want to go into the 30-day plan today, or do we want to really kind of break that up into a couple of days and break that up into a few days at a time and just talk about the importance of each one of these activities? That was
whatever
one of the things.
However you want to do it.
I think that the 30-day plan is something for people to truly understand the power of the 30-day plan. They have to execute the 30-day plan.
That's true.
So, you know, for us to just crush that into one day's training might be a little bit much, just, you know, me thinking out loud right now, bud, because there's a lot of really great recap information if you think about it.
Well, then,
a lot of the stuff that's covered in that 30-day plan is just that. It's a recap of a lot of the material that we've gone over already in the review of this book.
That's a true point. That's a true point. Well, we will get into these two little short chapters, and then we will start on the 30-day plan tomorrow. That way people truly can have their pen and paper out. You know, and folks, these the next two, what we're going to cover right now has to do with literally using Twitter, but building stuff on top of that. And some of this isn't going to matter to you guys. You're going to say, man, I don't even know what you're talking about, Troy. I don't know what APIs are. I don't know what plugins are. I don't know all this stuff. And that's cool, folks, but you're going to learn the terminology, because if you start to understand what Twitter provides and you start to understand that you can make this automated, then you're not going to become overwhelmed. The one thing that I've realized in the last year especially, people get overwhelmed. You're not used to change. All of a sudden this social media stuff comes into play. You're just getting down email, and now all of a sudden something else hops. So this is about what you can do as you start to grow. It's about, and basically you can write down two words. It's about automation and leverage. And with the automation, it truly gives you that ability to take a manual process of typing in 140 characters and making it to where when you type something, it's going to grab 140 characters and it's going to shoot it out into Twitter. And that's the key. The leverage is the ability to use the tools that are there. Whether you're creating an API because you just happen to know what you're doing, whether you're out there grabbing another API off of another platform, something that will allow you to tweak and do stuff. Matter of fact, if you use Ping FM, all the APIs are automatic. Once you set up your account and you activate all of the different sub-accounts that you have, all these microblogs and bookmarking and all that, it's just automatic. All you got to do is take and put in what you want. And we learned about this earlier last week where we were talking about the content and being able to create 140-character intriguing post, because once you've done that, then people will just automatically be watching. They will say, man, I know the last one that they put up was rocking. Now I want to look at what this one is, and they go on and on. And that's the key. For you guys that don't know what an API is, I'm going to sum it up in just layman's terms. It's just a small piece of software that allows two different websites to communicate with each other flawlessly. That's literally what it is. And it can be used for anything. It can be used to drop, some of you may have seen this, it drops leads into your online system if you buy leads from a lead source. It will allow you to automatically see who your downline is if you're with a network marketing company and you see all these new people in your back office. If you're running a brick-and-mortar business, you know, maybe you're running a small restaurant and you've got an account with a vendor or a purveyor like Cisco, and you go in and you can actually see what you've ordered, what you're running out of, et cetera, et cetera. Those are APIs. Now, there's two types with Twitter, and this is good for you to see. One is access, and that's what we just talked about with Ping FM. The first API over there is once you've set up your account, it will communicate back and forth. It knows that that's you. Every time you log in, it just logs into all your accounts at once. The second type of API is the actual content push. It's where when you type something up like a platform like Ping FM, then as soon as you hit submit, the APIs that are there grabs it and puts it out to all of your accounts. It's a cool and beautiful thing that's there. Now, there's some other types of little APIs, same process, but like if you go to Twitter itself and you're going through your followers and you click block, well, that's kind of an API where you're blocking somebody from ever being able to follow you or post or anything that people are going to see that is connected to you. And that's just one other form that's there. So you've got all these types of things that are going on. You're able to see the way it works. And those are just small. It's not that it's a major deal, but it allows you to be able to know when you're looking at something, hey, do I want to do this or not? You know, understanding, and I'm trying to think of another API that you might use. Well, if you're over at TweetDeck and you have it on your desktop, it out there online, and you all of a sudden you start to see things rolling through the screen where people have typed your name in, or retweeting. I'll get this right one of these days. Retweeting, or you're just watching. You've got a list of people that you're following and you're wanting to watch. because you've created that. Those are all forms of APIs. We call those data feed APIs. So now you get an idea, you know, and it's techie terms, and it may not be marketing, and it may not be rah-rah, and that's fine. It gives you a letter to understand what you're talking about, and it's just one step higher. Because if you're going to actually implement and put this 30-day plan together that we'll start talking about tomorrow, then you have to understand how to do it, and these APIs are going to come in handy. Jim and I gave you a lot of information over the last couple of weeks, and we covered last Friday a boatload of third-party vendors out there that focus on Twitter. You do not want to use all of those third-party vendors. What you want to do is look through them and find one or two or three that you like. My suggestion is not just to use something that is only Twitter, because you've got other stuff out there that you're going to be wanting to cover. Facebook, MySpace, YouTube, Hi5, Fast Pitch. I mean, the list goes on and on. You may have something over at Ning where you're starting your own niche social site, and you want that to be a part of it. All of this is going to be new to you. We're going to be covering it in an upcoming series. But what you want to be able to do is find something that's going to be all-inclusive, or at least as all-inclusive as it can be. I'm sure there's a lot of other sites out there besides Ping FM, but it allows me to connect with the top 50. If I want to put video up, if I want to put pictures up, if I just want to write content, then I know I'm getting it out as fast as I can.
Hey, Troy, let me make one caution. Sure. on something that people need to be aware of. If you are using multiple different feed servers, feed APIs, then you want to make sure that they're not creating redundancy on any one of your profiles. And what I mean by that is you know, if you've got Twitter tied to your Facebook and FriendFeed tied to your Facebook and, you know, Ping FM tied to your Facebook and Hootsuite tied to your Facebook and all this, and you run one post from there to multiple different places and they're tied together, what you may wind up with is 8 or 10 posts that all say the same thing. So you know, whatever you want to start out with as your feed platform, you want to make sure that that feed platform isn't double, triple linked in different places to feed back to the same place. Does that make sense?
Makes good sense, buddy, because I've seen that happen. I've done it myself, but I've really seen some people that weren't paying attention. All of a sudden, you look at their site, and there's 5 different things from 5 different feeds that are up there. And
yeah,
I've seen it
myself. I've been guilty of it myself, and that's why I know that, because when you're setting everything up, you want it where, you know, well, you think you want it where everything, one thing talks to another, and, you know, the right hand washes the left and everything else. But ultimately, if you set it up properly, then you have, you know, we'll use Ping FM as an example because I know that's one of your favorites. You know, we'll start out with Ping FM, and Ping FM feeds individually different services that you're using. But if one of those different services that it feeds also feeds something else, let's say, for example, Ping FM feeds Twitter, and Twitter feeds Facebook, and Twitter feeds FriendFeed, and FriendFeed have possibly 4 different entries that all say the exact same thing on your Facebook page that are coming from Ping FM, Twitter, FriendFeed. And in doing that, you've got all this redundancy that you've got to go back and clean up so that it doesn't look ridiculous.
Well, and I'll tell you another thing where I've seen this happen is also when we're using some niche platforms like that MLMV. I actually have a variety of accounts set up over there where I have my Better Networker set up in there, my blog is set up in there, my Facebook was set up in there, my Twitter was set up in there. So all of a sudden, when I would post on my blog or I would post on Better Networker, it was going to that MLMB, and then that MLMB was sending out redundancy to my Twitter, to my Facebook, to my MySpace, to my YouTube. So I had to tweak that a little bit and correct it. So I definitely know what you're talking about. And, folks, Jim is absolutely right. You just got to make sure you're set it up right. And this is going to be part of the 30-day plan, is so that you get it right the first time. and you can work through this, and then when you're ready to blow and go, I mean, it will rock. You will be kicking this thing into high gear, and that's the name of the game. So let's.
The other thing to remember too is the fact that it's a learning process. It is an active and ongoing learning process. Don't expect it to be perfect the first time you use it. You know, and if there are things where there are redundancies and glitches and things that are associated with it, don't be afraid to go back and fix them and learn from it. And then, you know, from there on, you should be able to move forward without having those same kinds of problems. And if you are having the same kinds of problems, well, then reach out to somebody. You know, find somebody who can help you with it that you're working closely with. If you don't have anybody within your own organization, call Troy or myself, and we'll help you with it.
Absolutely. Now, folks, there's also a second thing that you've got to look at. And lately, I've actually been getting a lot of people calling me, and I think I may create a consulting fee for this because it's starting to be so big. A lot of people have gone over and they've looked at my blog, and they see that I do a lot of company reviews, pros and critical. Just depends on what the company's doing. And all of a sudden, people have realized, oh, man, he must be doing really good. He must be the king of this, yada, yada, yada. And I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm just saying this is the frustration of this, folks. People are going out and they're using company names in their tweets. They're using company names in their videos. They're using all kinds of information that is proprietary, it's copyrighted, it's service mark, and you have to understand a few things. And that's right now why we're going to go into what's called plain nice, the legal consideration. Just because there is a beautiful right that Jimmy and I both have fought for called the freedom of speech, you have to know what it is you're doing. You cannot just go out and defame people. You cannot go out and just write disparaging comments. You cannot go out and slander people. And I'm seeing this happen a lot. Just this week, I had a gal that called me on the phone and said, you know, I did these two big old posts on Arbonne's bankruptcy. Now, just as soon as she said Arbonne's bankruptcy, I knew that she was not quite up to date on exactly what was going on. And she said, I got a certified cease and desist letter, and I went over to your site, and I see that you used Arbonne in your title. What's the difference? Well, I went over and I looked at her two videos that she had shot, and she put these out through Twitter. She put them out on Facebook. I mean, they were everywhere. As I watched the videos, she was using the sad situation that Arbonne's parent company had just gone through, which was a Chapter 11 reorganization. And she was using all of the negative to sell her free ebook and to promote her company and to try to grab people and put them on her team. Folks, you can't do that. You will definitely get a cease and desist letter. So when you're writing this stuff, you've got to be cautious. And I want to give you some things to know about, because this is part of the frustration. People don't know it. Grab a pen, write this down. I want you to understand and these are just layman's terms, defamation is damaging somebody's reputation. So when you're out there and you're writing something and it's going to damage somebody's reputation, you could pay a price. The thing to do is to make sure everything that you're writing about, that you're tweeting about, is factual and you can back it up with third-party validation. That's the key, okay? And you can always use the words my opinion. Don't write something that's fact if you don't know for sure that it's fact. The second thing is privacy. Okay, disclosing someone else's secret. Folks, you can't do that. I know there's a lot of, and you get the spam mail. You know, look at my ex-girlfriend's naked video. Okay, listen, none of that is real. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's all make-believe. It's all propaganda. It's all enticement. Okay, there's not a video site. There's not a social site, nothing that's going to allow things to stay up. That's a privacy issue. It's going to come down, period. So you need to be very cautious what you put in your tweet. If you're putting something about a competitor up there and you know that it to be true, but it's private, not been made public, you better be very cautious about it. I received an email not too long ago with private hotel information that was a guy that I've been blogging about. It showed that he had left the United States, he had gone to Canada, he had been in a hotel. I could not validate the information, and I knew this was a private receipt. The people wanted me to post this because they knew he was on probation in the United States, and if this got out, it could pull his probation. The problem is I couldn't validate it, and if I can't validate, we don't publish. You have to be cautious with privacy. Number three is interference, and this is with business relations. Okay, this is where this young lady is getting in trouble. She was using a video. She was purporting one thing without having the facts. And the whole concept, and this is what happens, folks. Somebody goes out and reads a blog, and they see where somebody's written, hey, you better be careful. You can see where they changed their comp plan. They had to put money in the owner's pocket, and this is what happened. And she posted stuff like that in this video. They can get her for this. Now, let me use a different situation, and you may see the correlation. I did a video not too long ago on a company called Accelerate. In Accelerate, and in the video post, I used their public financial statements to show where they had released to the public that if they could not get further financing, that they would no longer be able to stay in the business model in which they had been doing for the last 5 years. It was very plain, very simple. It's the way it works. We use public information. We help disclose what that public information meant. That's a completely different ballgame than going out there and trying to interfere in a business. And we see this happen on so-called advocate blogs. We see this coming out in Twitter, Facebook, and everything else. You need to be cautious on this. You can get your butt in trouble. The fourth thing I want you to write down is negligence, harming someone. If you just post something and out of the blue, you posted it because somebody else said it, it can harm somebody's reputation. About 2 weeks ago, I did a huge post on a little bitty scam company called Data Network Affiliates. The president, the founder, the CEO, the chairman of the board, I mean, this guy tried to use every title he could. He was very upset because I literally did talk about his reputation. And the fact that he was from the founding family of Twin Labs, and I couldn't believe that his name would be associated with this company. Now, he put a public post out. He was going after all the bloggers that had defamed his name and that were bringing his reputation down. Well, I want you to know something. Him and I had a great conversation last week. And after he understood why I wrote what I wrote, why I shot what I shot, we're going to be doing an interview because he realizes that it isn't me that's ruining his reputation. It was him, and he's no longer affiliated with that company. Sometimes it's not negligent. Sometimes it's the fact of if you post the truth, people will slow down and look at it. So it's a very thin line. You got to be very cautious. Number three is contracts. Ending up in an enforceable agreement. Folks, if there's contracts out there, if you're in a contract with a company, let me use network marketing as an example right now. Every policy and procedure of every network marketing company I've ever seen has a clause that says you cannot make disparaging comments. You will also see a clause in most of them that say this agreement will live on after the two parties separate. And it may be for 6 months, it may be for a year, whatever the case is. And that means within that 6 months or a year, if you say a disparaging comment about that company, you can be sued. So if you're in a contract, you need to be very cautious. If you're on the wrong ISP, which means Internet Service Provider, and in there they say you can't run a personal blog, you can't send out massive emails, you can't write about other companies. You need to see what it says. Then you need to be cautious or you can be shut down. Next thing is trademarks. This is an interesting one here because what happens is people will put trademarks up and then they will write things that can be confusing to the customers. And if you use a trademark and you're writing something disparaging about the company, if you have the trademark up and you write something like Quaker Oats cereal kills infant. Well, you use Quaker Oats, and that's a trademark. And you need to be very cautious because a lot of times marketers think that they can use titles that won't have anything to do with the with the article, but they use it just on purpose, just to get people to open the link. You don't want to do that. Okay, that can cause you some major, major problems. Now, I did one the other day, and people thought I was nuts, and then when they read the lawsuit, they understood why I did it. But I wrote about a company that had paid $150,000 to an escort service in Vegas. And my title said, such and such company pays $150,000 to escort while denying commissions. And it was the absolute truth. Nothing ever happened. The company couldn't do anything. They'd already filed the lawsuit, and inside the lawsuit it made it very clear. You have to be cautious. We don't just post stuff without doing our due diligence. Not once that we have posted anything, pros or con, have we ever had to take it off the internet. And it's because we even though you'll see some comments where people don't think we do our due diligence, we actually do. It's very good. The last thing that I want you to think about here is copyright. Sharing information that's not yours. If you're pulling something off of a blog, if you're pulling something off of an article, if you're pulling something out of a book, then you've got to have the citation in there where you got that. Now, I understand that there are some people that are exempt from copyright infringement. One of them is my good friend Jim Gilhouse. And Jim has been in this industry for so long, and he has heard so much, that there's no way possible he can remember who said what to when to where to whom. So he always gives himself a disclaimer, and he states, you know what, I wish I could say this is original, but it's not. I just don't remember who I stole it from. Now, see, he's being very open and honest, and if you want to do that in your blog, you can do that. But if you're actually using copyrighted material, you have to disclose that, folks, or you can end up getting your butt in trouble. So whether you're tweeting it, whether you've got it on Facebook, YouTube, MySpace, I don't care where it's at. If you're not taking care of it correctly, then it's going to cost you in the long run. And since everything that Jim and I are talking about has to do with branding, the last thing that you want to be known as is a plagiarizer, a stealer, a negligent person, you know, somebody that violates other people's privacy. That's not the key. You want to be a professional.
Sure. Let me jump on this real quick for just a second, because this is something that's it's important and it's noteworthy. The most powerful thing you can do in this respect, in my opinion, is if I use a lot of Tim Rohn's material. I use a lot of John Maxwell's material. And by giving credit to the people who came up with the material, actually you're paying honor to them. And if nothing else, you know, if somebody asks me, you know, where do they get information about recruiting professional real estate agents or anything like that, I tell them, go to Todd Falcone. He's got one of the best programs that are out there. Now, I can train on the same topic. I can talk about the same topic, but I'm not trying to sell knowledge that I gained from his knowledge that I've acquired over the years. As long as you're willing to give credit to the people who created the material, you can use it all you want to. Just don't try and claim it as your own.
Well, see, you know what, Jim, right there, that just like what we're doing right now, we explained to everybody, Joel Comm wrote this book, Twitter Power, and the stuff that we're using as the basis of this comes from Twitter Power. Just like a couple weeks ago, folks, we were using Eric Qualman's book, and we were going through it, and we gave him kudos. When we do, just like Jim said, when we do Maxwell stuff, we give him the kudos. See, this is the kicker here that everybody needs to understand. This is called social networking. So when we're out here and we find something we like, we start using it. Over the weekend, Jim, I got a brand new book in from Amazon, not because I asked for the book, but because I did a video post on Eric Qualm's book saying this book kicked butt. I'm now listed at Amazon as a reviewer, and people are now starting to send me books so that I can go out there and do reviews on them. Folks, when you're open and honest and sincere, you will find out that telling other people where you got your information will do nothing but build your own career. It's the most beautiful thing. So tomorrow, we're going to start the 30-day plan for Twitter Power. You don't want to miss this. It's a rock. Folks, live life like it's an epic adventure. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., Radio for Your Mind. Bye now.
God bless everybody. Have a great day.